It's done.
Connor! David! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to Zero Pucks Given, the UK ice hockey podcast. We are in partnership with the Hockey Art Co, hockey clothing for hockey people, worn by the best and hated by the rest. Listeners to Zero Pucks Given get a 10% discount on everything site-wide at hockeyartclothing.co.uk. Just enter the code ZP10 upon checkout to get your discount. And we still have our partnership with Manscaped, redefining the gentleman with top-of-the-range male grooming products. Listen out a little bit later for more details about Manscaped and their products. You can get 20% off plus free shipping on all of their products from manscaped.com and use the code 0PUCKS20, all caps, all one word, 0PUCKS20. Don't delay, get your discount now and make sure your boys are smooth for the summer. We are also on the Sports Social Podcast Network, the biggest sport podcast network in Europe, boasting some other top ice hockey podcasts, such as British Ice Hockey, Elite, and A View from the Bridge. Right, this is episode 103. I'm Ben, and welcome to Zero Pucks Given. The season is done. It's over. We've had the Sheffield Steelers take an Elite League Grand Slam, adding the playoffs to their league and Challenge Cup titles. In the National League, we've had three different winners, as Leeds Knights take the league, MK Lightning take the cup, and the Peterborough Phantoms take the playoffs. A hard-earned success for the Phantoms on the weekend, after they got past the Telford Tigers in overtime, controversially though, as the winning goal didn't appear to cross the line after hitting both posts, almost identical to an incident at Invicta versus Chelmsford at the end of the Britain League season. But the goal was given, showing that the officials really do need the video help, even at our level. Peterborough went through to face Leeds Knights and eventually triumph in a sudden-death shootout, Luke Ferreira netting the all-important goal. And of course, through the other leagues, as we said last week in the season review, congratulations to the Morley League winners, the Billingham Stars, the Morley Playoffs and Cup winners, the Blackburn Hawks. In the Laidler, the Telford Tigers 2 take the league title, the Sutton Sting take the Laidler Cup, and the Billingham Buccaneers take the Laidler Playoffs. Into the South, and a massive congratulations to the Wilkinson League and Cup winners, Guildford Phoenix, and of course the Wilkinson Playoff winners, the Basingstoke Buffalo. And in the Britain Division, where we sort of do all of our bit, playoff champions and Chelmsford Chieftains, and of course the league Britain Cup, South Cup victors, the Streatham Red Hawks. And through that winning that league, they go to the Coventry Finals weekend to face the winners of the Morley Division, the Billingham Buccaneers. And that's where we'll go. We'll start at the Sky Dome. The league champions clash, a first-time appearance for the Billingham Stars as the Red Hawks look to exercise the pain of being caught in the jaws of the Solway Sharks over the last couple of years. And the Red Hawks came flying out at the Stars and took an early lead when the dynamic duo struck as Beasley assisted Ryan Watts, beating the keeper low to make it 1-0 on just 35 seconds. Streatham killed off two penalties in the first 10 before they doubled their advantage when Thomas Skokan sniped in from distance to make it 2-0 on 10:55. Both sides killed off penalties as the first drew to a close, with the London-based side holding the most dangerous lead in hockey. Into the second, and another early trip to the penalty box for the Red Hawks, but after just 60 seconds, they were joined by Sykes for Billingham, and after killing their own penalty, Streatham made it 3 when Warman passed across the crease for Jared Lane to finish from close range on 26:32, power play goal. As the game restarted, the Billingham Stars looked to hit back quickly, and they did when James Moss pulled one back to make it 3-1 on 27:11. The comeback was halted when Billingham took a high sticks penalty on 27:25, but they managed to kill it off. Streatham then had a chance to kill the game off when they were awarded a penalty shot on 35:43. JJ Pitchley took the honour himself and duly slotted home to make it 4-1. Those who thought the game was over could well have been forgiven for doing so, but the Stars weren't done just yet. When James Moss got his and Billingham's second goal to make it 4-2 on 36:04, quickly followed by a Chris Sykes goal on 36:48 to really ramp up the pressure on their southern counterparts. The third was going to require a thoroughly professional performance from Ben Painter's men, but they spent most of the third on the kill, including a five-minute major as they headed into the final 10 minutes. Pressure withheld, and even with an empty net, Billingham Stars couldn't force the leveller, and as the buzzer went, gloves and sticks launched into the air as the Red Hawks finally get their hands on the trophy that has eluded them. The National One champions are the Streatham Red Hawks, and after the game, Streatham player coach Ben Painter gave his thoughts to ZPG.
Yeah, obviously we go into the final weekend of the season in the national final in Coventry against the Billingham, with the national title up for grabs, the sort of the trophy that's eluded us over the last couple of years, having won every trophy sort of at this level for the last couple of years, it was sort of the last one up for grabs that we hadn't got and the one that had eluded us. So I think realistically from last summer, the all eyes were on this trophy. This is the one we wanted, and I think as a club, this is the one we wanted. And going into that game and dominating large parts of the game and ultimately winning that trophy was I can't actually describe the feeling. It was it was unbelievable. We go into that game and I think we were the mood was different this year to what it was like the last couple of years, and obviously off the back of losing in the playoff semi-finals, I think we had a lot of time to reflect on that and as a group sort of lick our wounds and go into this weekend knowing that this team we've got here hasn't lost two on the bounce all year, and we're very good at putting ourselves back together and really sort of getting back to winning ways, and we did exactly that this weekend. And I don't know, from my point of view and personally, I felt like the feeling was a little bit different this year to past years. I felt like we had a bit of confidence, and I think instead of going there thinking we haven't won this in 2 years, I think we took that and went, we've been here, we've done this before, let's knuckle down now and just play this like any other game. And I think we really did do that. And then obviously with Wattie leading from the front and absolutely sniping to get us our first goal, I mean, it was a great finish and it was a great goal. And I think from that point on, that just filled us with the confidence we needed to just press on. And I think, yeah, from that point, we really did sort of dominate that first period from start to finish. Even when we were on the penalty kill, I think we killed brilliantly and really did sort of dominate that period. I think going into the second, we maybe relaxed a little bit too much, got away from a little bit from the things we discussed and how to sort of beat this team. We knew that they had maybe three or four top guys, and we knew that they liked to sort of maybe cheat a little bit and like to create odd man rushes and two on ones. And I think we got a little bit too relaxed and let them have too much, maybe a couple of bad decisions defensively, and invited some pressure that we shouldn't have. But we sort of got through that period, reset after that period, and went into that third and sort of discussed some points defensively and the fact we don't need to take any risk with going into that period of goal up. And we did exactly that. We were great. We defensively, we just really tightened up and didn't allow them anything. The only sort of looks they got was on the power play, which they had quite a few power play minutes in that third period. And as a group, again, like we have done all year, we killed tremendously and really did sort of put our bodies on the line. Boys were blocking shots, and we threw everything at it and emptied our tanks to get that result. And I can't sort of put into words how much it meant to me for the boys to dial in and really sort of put everything on the line and leave it all out there and ultimately win the trophy that we've been longing for so long. So yeah, it was great to get that one under our belt, and yeah, I can't even describe the feeling of finally getting that trophy. So to do it there and with all our families there and so many travelling supporters that have been fantastic all year. I'd probably say there was, I don't know, maybe 200 Streatham supporters there. Been great all year, and just to see you guys at Coventry and enjoy it as well. It's brilliant, and it means the world to us boys. And I'd like to just take this moment to thank you all for really sort of sticking with us all year, even when we've maybe had a couple of tough weeks early on in the season and things like that. And then after the playoff semi final loss, you stuck with us, and it really is appreciated from me and all the boys. And then again, I want to say a thank you to everyone involved in the club behind the scenes, all the way up from Graham and Dawn, who in my opinion are the sort of the best owners I've ever played for. And all the way down to, like I say, everyone that helps out behind the scenes, match nights, and everyone that helps us out every week, home and away games and things like that. So it really is appreciated. And we really thank you for all your time and effort that you give us and support us. It really does make it Streatham a great place to play. And then just finally thank you to all the boys that have given up their time and their weekends and really sort of committed to the team all year. And it's a difficult place to play in Streatham at times because of the travel going into London can sometimes be a bit of a nightmare, but in reality, like, we all play there because we love it, and we want a chance to win trophies, and we did just that this year, 4 out of 5 trophies. And yeah, I just want to thank the boys for really buying in and sort of playing the way I wanted us to play. And I think we were definitely rewarded with 4 out of 5 trophies, and it was a brilliant season. So just want to thank you to the boys, and see you all next year.
And after a stellar season, winning the league and 3 runners-up places, Billingham Stars coach Stephen Foster gave his thoughts to Zero Pucks Given.
Hi, it's Stephen Foster here, head coach of the Billingham Stars, on the back of a disappointing result against a very good Streatham side, where we really ran them close. We started off a little slow, which is understandable, where the lads were up at 5 a.m, which they've never seen before, and we were missing 5 of our team, which was always going to make it a little bit difficult for us. But all the lads, we pulled a few lads up from the Buccaneers, and all of them played really well for us and did make a good account of themselves over the weekend. We had a couple of training sessions before, which I think really did show a little bit of our lack of sharpness early on. We battled back from 3-0 down to make it 4-3, but unfortunately it wasn't quite enough. Streatham were really experienced and showed early on that the meant business, and obviously the 3-goal lead. But we did show some really good character. The lads battled all of the way, and I think we had quite a few opportunities to equalise that as well. Unfortunately, it wasn't enough. It's been a good year for us. You know, we've been building the last 3 to 4 years, and for us this year to win the league, then be runners-up in the Cup, the playoffs, and then the National Final as well, I think it's shown good progression for us and looks good for the future of us. What's also nice to see is that every player that we've had has contributed to us. I think there's only one game that we've played at full strength all season, but it's been an X-man-up mentality, and everybody who's stepped up haven't let us down, which is fantastic, and it shows the development of those players as they've come through. Teams had fantastic backroom staff as well, from Alan, Steve, Josh, Carol, making sure the lads have everything they need and everything's organised. Then you've got our physio, Sadie. She's been patching the lads up and getting them back to full fitness as soon as possible. It's also been good working alongside my Wasps teammate, Rob. We've worked well together, but both bring different opinions and ideas, which is always interesting at times. We managed to work together and help the team along. Rob's retiring after this season that we've just had there, and I wish him the best and hope he enjoys his retirement away from hockey. I think over the season this year we as a team we've been playing some good ice hockey as well. We've managed to move the puck very well, getting it forward a lot and creating a lot of opportunities. You know, we've had lines. We juggled them a little bit recently, and with the injuries that we've had, but we've scored some big numbers this year, and a lot of games we were nines for quite a few games there in a row, and that shows that how well the work are moving forward, and we're getting a lot more deadly. Previous seasons we've probably had roughly similar opportunities, but we haven't managed to convert them. This year we've been moving the puck around really well, creating opportunities, creating odd man rushes, and the quality of our finishing has been very good. And that's, you know, our top line, they've scored a lot of goals there, but it's also been backed up by the other lines as well. And then sometimes they've had to play a certain role, which sometimes gets missed. You know, they've maybe had to go up against top lines and make sure that other top lines weren't scoring. And that contribution has to also be recognised. It's not always just the goals, it's making sure that other teams don't get those quality opportunities that we were hoping to get at the other end. I think defensively, we've been a lot more sound. Commitment by the forwards to get back to make sure that they defend and trying to defend in fives. And that's really helped us. We the shots that we've let up, a lot of them we're trying to make sure that they come from the outside, let the goalie see it. And that's really paid off. That's given the likes of Tom Brown, who's been great again in goal for us, as well as Mark. Mark's played quite a few games this year for us as well to spread the load around, and Mark's not let us down neither. And we've had Jacob, who's coming for an odd game or two as well, and who again is developing very well as a goalie and has done well with the Buccaneers this year. So I think, you know, that's the kind of hockey we want to play. We want to make it exciting. I think even when we scored a few goals at home ahead, still putting a good product on the ice, which the fans are appreciating, and it helps them feed on, you know, particularly when it's some of the games when it were a little bit tighter. That's helped us get over the line. So we can't thank everybody enough for the buy-in from the players, from the fans, and all the support we've had from the social media side, and That's been fantastic, and that's what we just want to keep doing moving forward. Big thank you to our supporters that cheered us on every step of the way. Support's increased both at home. We've never seen so many people supporting us away from home. Even on those horrible winter days, they've still been there cheering us on. They've helped us get over the line in some of the tough, tight games that we've had, and the lads genuinely want to put on a good show for them, reward them for their support, and obviously they can enjoy the success with us that we've had this year.
Well, then a question pondered by myself, Graham Hamilton and Chris Beale. This year anyway, hockey belongs to the South. With MK and Peterborough also taking two of the National League honours, it puts the South in firm control outside of the Elite League, which of course just belongs to Yorkshire. Well, that's the playing part of the season all completed. There are awards nights and presentations to follow for all the clubs individually. And then, of course, that harrowing wait over the summer months before the signings start getting announced, where I'm sure everyone will start to get a little bit frustrated with nothing coming out. But believe you me, those cogs are turning, and everyone is doing their very hard work to get those rosters locked in. Well, now the games are out of the way, there's something I've been waiting to get to. Now, if you've been listening to Zero Pucks Given at all this season, you would have heard me say countless times, in partnership with the Hockey Art Co. Hockey clothing for hockey people, worn by the best and hated by the rest. So I thought it was about time we put some meat onto the bones of that statement and chat with the founder, owner and operator of Hockey Art Co., Mike Giannone.
Mike, how you doing, fella?
I'm all right, mate. How are you?
I'm really, really well. Thank you so much for finally joining me on Zero Pucks Given. We've been saying Hockey Art Co. for months and months on end now. And now everyone, including myself, can put the face to the name. Although you do brilliantly model your own stuff as well, which is fantastic to see.
Oh, yes, mate, definitely.
As we both are. We both are this evening. We're both modelling.
Get in. And to be fair, mate, I have to say a huge thank you for just taking us on and letting us, you know, sponsor. I know it's just, the world of internet is so fast paced, and to keep sort of doing the likes, doing the shares, all that sort of thing, it just, it eats up a day. But no, I have to thank you for getting us on board, mate. It's much appreciated, and I will be 100%. I'm going to send you some more stuff, mate. So it's all good, mate. It's all
I
good.
I always like it. Well, the first thing that you sent me was I managed to win the Foo Fighters Taylor Hawkins Memorial jersey on one of these random Instagram competitions.
We're not allowed to. I don't think I'm allowed to talk about that jersey anymore.
No, because you kind of got slapped with a little bit of legal paperwork about it, didn't you?
I got a cease and desist on that fucker. That was brilliant. I couldn't believe that. It was like kind of a rite of passage, in it, for any up-and-coming designer to get a nice little fucking slap on the wrist. So, yeah, you got the first one, and that's all that matters.
But it's a... I mean, that in itself, because have you? I take it you haven't had that from Metallica or Blink 182 or anything like that.
No, and the best way I try to do it is just keep it off the radar. And I took them all off. What was it, about 6 months ago now? Let it lie low for a little bit, and then have to change the names on the page just to keep it all sort of above board.
Mm.
And yeah, since then I'm going to put them back on in summer though. That's a Everyone has been on my case about getting those jerseys back on the website, so it's going to happen. It will happen.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So where was, like, because I mean, some of your stuff, I mean, one of the reasons, obviously, after, you know, we connected through that, and then I reached out to you about coming on board with the podcast, because there's a few hockey sort of inspired clothing companies out there, but your stuff is, it's almost like it's so niche, you can look at anything and you say, that's Hockey Art Co. It's got a style. So where does that inspiration come from?
That's a good question. More recently, I've been honing in on just taking my style and working with it, in the sense that images, pictures, and dropping the to make it more my own, making things pop, is bringing in the color aspect of the jerseys and taking away the background and going black and gray. I found that I'm from an art and design background. I went to college, studied it 4 years, and things just look unbelievable when you drop something, fade it into a background, and then let something forward pop. So to bring that into the t-shirts, shit stands out. It stands out, and people take notice and they go, fucking hell, that looks awesome. And that's, I think, one thing that I've ran away with this past 6 or 7 months, and just looking at the way you sort of visualize things from a distance, and you can go, you can identify, like you have done, you've gone, oh shit, that's a Hockey Art Co, as opposed to something from somebody else. So yeah, it's taken a lot of work, a lot of progress, a lot of looking at things from when I first started and going, oh shit, did I actually fucking do that? First couple of months of my designs, my God, Ben, they were awful. They were absolutely awful. I look back on them now.
It's much the same here. If I listen back to the first couple of episodes of this, I'm like, oh God, really?
Did I do that? You're just like, okay, how can I improve? And that's all I ever keep doing, is just, even looking back on last month's lot and just going, how can I make things better? What can I do to kind of do something different? And at the moment, I'm loving the graphic, the picture images, the stills of the games and stuff like that. And it does. At my local rink, I've started to put some of the clothing into the little shop they got there. and two people have come away and I've walked out of the rink on a Saturday afternoon, seen my stuff and gone, fucking hell, someone's actually fucking buying it.
Yeah.
And I've walked into the shop and I've said to the guy, I said, what do they think? They loved it. It's it was the Bruins stuff, the show me love t-shirt, or show some love. And that one in particular, because of obviously the two goalies, the iconic moment, it's blown up and it's got done really well on the web page. So yeah, it's slow progress still. It is slow progress, but I'm still enjoying it. I'm still loving it.
Yeah, I think, any startup of anything, especially any sort of digital media, is always a slow sort of progress build, and probably until you find that viral moment. Yeah. And then it can kind of go, which, I mean, ironically, could have been for you the negative thing of having the cease and desist from the Foo Fighters. That could have actually got your name out there as well.
Yeah, it's something that I tend to kind of shy away from, believe it or not. Like, even with all having to model my own stuff is one thing, and then to actually get something like that, and I think to myself, like, I'm a shy person genuinely. Like, I tend to not sort of throw myself into it, and then to have stuff like that from like a big company, I look at the message and I fucking shit myself, and then I go, oh fuck, I didn't give a fuck. Oh, it's crazy, mate. It is crazy. Whirlwind.
So what is your local rink?
Bristol.
That's Bristol.
Used to be Swindon.
Are you a Pitbulls guy then, or are you Wildcats?
That's a funny thing. It's a good story. When I first started getting into the local scene, just post-COVID, I was desperate to get my son onto the ice. He must have been three. And we went to Swindon. And I'm not gonna trash talk anyone, but we didn't get on with anything there at Swindon. We went previously, me and my wife, we went to a few Boxing Day games, and then all of a sudden we were desperate to get him on the ice, desperate to get him to learn to skate, and there was nothing for him at Swindon. There was no program, there was no kind of incentive, unless we weren't looking, I don't know. And so we took it over to Bristol, and since then, hello Pooch.
Yeah. Hi. She's just gonna go and sit in the back there.
Nice. And since then we ended up staying in Bristol and been there ever since. And the people that we've met, the interactions we've been getting, the friendship groups we created, it's been phenomenal, mate. Unbelievable. So yeah, Pitbulls, I hate to say it, awful season.
They've had a
awful
bad year, haven't they?
I should have stuck with Swindon. For me, it's never been, I've never fully immersed myself in supporting either Wildcats or the Pitbulls, but I love going to the games. So that's kind of where I'm at with that.
Yeah, it's kind of me and my daughter noticed, starting to go to Chelmsford sort of just before COVID, that it's, as you say, that family atmosphere there and the people that you meet. Like, we're like first name terms with everyone that sits in our little block. Everyone, you know, it's not allocated seating, but everyone knows where everyone's going to be sitting and that. And it's, I think it's such a special sport like that. I don't think any other sport in the world is like that.
100%, mate. There is something so unique about it that, like, just even heading out to a rink on a Saturday and talking with even the figure skaters, talking with, we're all in the same group. We're all sharing the same ice. And I think that's what makes it important for any family and anybody attending a rink, and you're so welcomed on that aspect. So yeah, definitely 100%, mate. I fully agree with that, without a doubt.
Mm. So going back to the brand then, when did this idea spawn in your brain?
Back in so lockdown happened, and I took a year out with the birth of my second son, and my wife, she said to me that she's like, you're looking bored, you need to start painting again. And I hadn't picked up a brush since I'd left college. So I then She got me a fucking A3 sketch pad, bunch of acrylic paints, and I started to paint the hockey players from Swindon. They were my first lot, so I started doing the goalie was one. Then I did the Sam Bulas, Nell, and a few others, and then I started to branch out. Some guy who was on a Facebook page turned around and said, "Oh, can you do a Ken Danico for me?" Big Devils fan. So I said, "Yeah, okay, I'll do that." And so it then went from there. Put those out onto the Facebook page. I said, "Oh, I've done a couple of prints. Put them out, couple of quid. See who wants them." Signed them. So whoever's got those, they're numbered from 1 to 10. And in about 20 years' time, if you still got them, and I'm fucking massive, they're going to be worth a mint, mate.
Awesome.
It went from that, and then all of a sudden, like, I don't know what the trigger was, but I come up with my very first logo was a bearded hockey guy, just a shadow outline with the eyebrows, identifiable with two, not sticks, but they were paintbrushes in the background. And I whacked that on a T-shirt, and I turned around and I thought, I sold 10, literally 10 of those. I've still got one somewhere, tucked away somewhere. I need to frame it at some point. And that was the very, very first hockey art clothing logo that I did. And from that, I can't honestly remember what I did after that. I remember just literally running with it. And I thought to myself, because I'll tell you what had happened, mate, and this is where I'm going to go off on one now. So I was scouring the net. It was in the evening. I thought, we're off to a game at some point at the weekend. And I thought, I really want to go, but I don't want to wear my jersey. I want to wear something hockey related, like a T-shirt or something like that. So I looked on certain UK-based clothing companies, and then I looked across to the States, and I would always get my stuff from Violent Gents. The import prices were coming in, and they were astronomical. So that was another reason that sort of this light bulb moment switched off in my head, and I thought, you know what, I could do stuff like that. I've got a design background. I can start to maybe put some stuff together on, you know, the computer and just run with it. Then realizing that obviously not many UK-based companies were doing stuff that I liked. And I think that was what was the most important part. It was kind of taking design ideas from the guys out in California. And it was thinking to myself, there's nothing here in the UK that I can really get behind. Why don't I come up with something myself? And basically, that was the brainchild of it. And I just, 2020, June 2020, the birth of it, mate. That was it.
Wicked. Do you get comments, obviously, if you go to the rink wearing your own stuff?
Yeah, quite a few times, mate. Often asked, where did you get it from? And then I have to tell them. Then when I tell them, they message and go, I sat next to you at the game. You're the guy that... And I'm just like, yeah, that's me. You could... And 9 times out of 10, I'm giving away discount codes. Just because I think if I can get that one person to have it, 2 other people might want it. And then so on and so forth. So yeah, it's it is really strange now going to Bristol Rink and kind of people just turning around and going, hey, you're the guy that does the stuff. That's really cool stuff. And I'm just like, yeah, that's it. And then all of a sudden this shy kid comes in and I'm just like, oh, don't know how to deal with this. So my wife steps in and she sort of takes control and just goes, yeah, you can go on the website, blah, 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 all that sort of thing. So yeah, it's good, good.
Yeah, but I mean, funnily enough, I actually kind of struggled to deal with that myself, that after I'd started this and then I'd get a chance and people would sort of look at me and they'd go, you guy, you're doing that podcast, didn't you? And I'm like, yeah. and then it happens everywhere I go now. Any ice rink I go, I get people going, hey, you do the thing. And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, because I mean, I'm
strange quite, feeling.
Yeah, I'm quite shy and reserved, really, until I've had a drink, and then it's like the opposite.
Yeah, it's quite a funny one. I was at the game, the start of the season, the Pitbulls game, and I went with one of my best mates who I met through skating at the rink. He looks identical to me in every single way. It was quite scary, and he basically he turns around, and he's just like, how many people are, like, saying hello to you? And I'm just like, yeah, there's quite a few. I don't really know them. He goes, it's because of your shit clothing, bruh. And I'm just like, yeah, you got to put up with it, Matt. That's all I'm saying. You got to put up with it. It's hilarious, I tell you. It really is quite something.
Yeah, as you say, like, giving out discount codes, you were kind enough to give us one to put out to the listeners as well, which I do hope people have been using, because it's... There's so much variety in what you do. I think that some clothing brands can be quite guilty of almost giving you too much choice.
Right.
But what I love about your stuff is it's in series. So you have like little collections of different stuff. And it makes it so interesting to look through all the different collections. Like the newest one that's come out, the club series, I absolutely love. It's almost like just beautiful simplicity.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I need to... It's pinch myself moments quite a lot of times when I have to simplify shit. I get carried away with overdoing it, and I know when I've overdone it because there's a rule that I've made up myself. If I've spent longer than 2 days on a design, it's not worth it. People aren't going to notice it. The best designs I've come up with have been within half an hour. And they've flown out. And I've just thought to myself, okay, simple. And I have to keep fucking telling myself every single time. So when the club lot come out, I think and this is the weirdest thing, mate. I'll take inspiration from anywhere. I was walking through my local high street and I just took a glance at the amount of young kids that were just having the simplest logos on their hoodies, on their tops, and when they turned around, the back pieces were fucking massive.
Mm.
And I thought, right, okay, I could run with this. So henceforth, the club edition was born, and it's taken off really, really well, that lot. So more of that lot to come, definitely, in that style.
It's quite similar, actually, the way you talk about your design to something like a musician. They say if you're working on a song for days on end, you're not going to finish it. You're never going to be happy with it. And most of the best songs in history were cracked out in 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking one thing springs to mind with that is a Foo's documentary. And I think Dave Grohl was saying exactly the same thing. And when he wrote, was it either Monkey Wrench or fucking one of the ones? And he just said, yeah, I had to just get it out there. That was it. It is similar. It really is similar. Funny enough, mate, I used to be a musician back in my ute.
So did I.
Did you? What did you do?
I was a front man.
Really?
Yeah. Us shy guys being front men.
Yeah. Were you a screamer or were you a...
I was, yeah.
Is it? Well, go on, drop the name of the band, mate.
Oh, there was a couple. They were all terrible. Beautiful Mayhem.
Nice.
Primavera.
Yeah.
And very, very small amount of time, although I was actually playing bass with a band called Line of Sight.
Oh, nice. I bet they were... Do you do any gigs?
Oh, God, yeah, back in the day. But, I mean, I'm nearly 40 now, so it was like... I was, like, 18 at the time. We did it... With Primavera, we did a UK tour.
No way.
Yeah, it was...
Shit.
That was pretty awesome. What about yourself? Hell. What was yours?
Mate, honestly, the first band I was in, I used to have to get a bus all the way to Froome from where I live, and it was like a 40-minute bus ride, and we went to a studio that this guy from New York owned, massive fucking dreadlocks, and the first band I was in called Nausea, spelt with a G, N-A-W.
Oh, nice.
Fucking, we were like we were almost Crazy Fist. Korn, Crazy Fist, Killswitch Engage, all that sort of thing. And then I was on my travels through around the world, and I come back and I turn around, same guys in the band, and I went, right, I'm bringing in a new guitarist and we're going to change the name. So I changed it to Zero Point. And again, it was kind of like Deftones, kind of all that sort of thing. Did a few gigs in Bath and Bristol, done a few Battle of the Bands, all that sort of shit. And I just loved it, mate. I loved it. But it got a little bit toxic with a couple of the members in there, so that wasn't so good.
I think, to be fair, I mean, a lot of the only Primavera, we did a few bits. Like I said, we did the UK tour. We did a couple of support slots to Enter Shikari.
You know, mate.
Yeah, well, I supported them with Beautiful Mayhem as well. I've been a Shikari fan since the very, very beginning.
Wow.
But they were this close to playing at my wedding because we had one of their songs as our first dance at our wedding. But they were touring Japan, so they couldn't make it, which is a shame.
Oh, shit.
But the Primavera one, I can remember the first night of the tour, we were at some shit old bar in Chorley, just outside of Preston. But it had like a 500 capacity. It was a decent venue. And we first night of the tour, five guys in a transit van, we were like, it's not going to be anybody here. And we sound checked, went and got something to eat. And then when we came back, they were queuing down the road and we'd completely sold it out.
What?
It's mental.
That is amazing. Yeah,
the next night in Bradford, we played to the bar lady in our support band, and that was it. Yeah. Proper Dave crashed out to her.
Oh, mate. What, like, as a young kid, how do you deal with that kind of shit? Do you know what I mean? It's just so, like, you could be on a high 1 minute, and the next week you go and play, and it's like 2 or 3 people. So what the fuck happened?
Yeah. I'm trying to think years-wise. I think it was 2005, but it was late 2005. So I think I was 20.
Yeah.
When we were doing that. I had, like, you know, long hair and everything like that. All clean-shaven. Nice. Very, we were kind of like Atreyu, Killswitch Engage type, sort of post-hardcore, awesome, screamo type stuff. But
I fucking love Atreyu, mate.
But so
a great band.
The fact that we've actually got this in common is actually really ironic with what you were saying with the design and stuff, because we used to do songs that we liked, and if anyone else liked it, it was a bonus. And I get that feeling with your stuff as well, that it's, you're not making it to please anybody else. You're just looking to enjoy doing it yourself.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Do you know what, mate? You're nailing the questions tonight, mate. I was thinking earlier about, why I do it, and there's two t-shirts that I really, really didn't want to do, and I ended up doing them, and when I looked at them, I wanted them, and that was the Vancouver Canucks City Series with Hughes on the front, and somebody ordered it, and I looked at it, and I was like, I fucking wish I fucking printed my own now. And I wanted to, and I thought to myself, no, I got to Bosch out this next lot, and I just never got around to it. Then the other one was the Ovi doing the celebration.
Yeah.
And it was at that point that I thought to myself, okay, I'm not going to wear an Ovechkin top. And, you know, anybody who knows the page, I'm devil spruing through. And anytime I wear something that's got another team on, I'm just like, I don't want to do this. And I wore it, and I was just like, okay, that looks fucking good. And it's shit like that that I think to myself, like, okay, I've got to keep doing this, because it just, if it makes me happy, even if I don't want it, I'll keep doing it, you know? It's the weirdest concept you're ever going to fucking get your head around, but yeah, it works at the end of the day, and I think it's, like I said, it's still growing, so it's
good. Yeah, I think a lot of things like that. I mean, is it your full-time gig, Mike, or is it like a side hustle?
No, it's still a side hustle. I'm a chef by trade. I've been a chef for 25 years now. I've been all over the place with it. I lived in London chefing, and I love it. I do still love chefing. It's brilliant, but at the end of the day, it's something's got to pay the bills, and it's that. This is like, it's almost like your first love, you know. It's that one that you go back to time and time again, and you just think to yourself, okay, my foot's in the door now. I can't go back to just knocking it on the head because I've done a few t-shirts. Just keep going. So I did, and yeah, I'm still loving doing it, which is good. So at some stage or another, the plan is to keep growing it. How, I don't know at this point in time, but you know, things keep knocking on my door, and it just, something will pop up and go, okay, yeah, that sounds, I could get my teeth into that. I think one of the ones is, at the moment, quite a few rec league teams are knocking my way, asking for jersey designs. Never thought I'd be doing that, but again, it's something I love doing. And for whatever reason, like you said before, they're unique. And just go off on a tangent, but about the jersey design. So the Metallica one, some girl picked it up from the store, the ice rink. She was on the ice with it, and my missus turns around and goes, that's one of your jerseys. And I was just like, oh yeah. So how do you spot that? She goes, your designs are unique. There's nobody doing them. They're just different. So yeah, I spotted it like a mile away. So it's good. It's good. That's what I think is going to keep it going, really, you know?
Yeah. And I think, I mean, men as a whole in general, I think men need something like that in their lives. Cause as you say, you love chefing, that's great. I've been an engineer for 20 years. I love that. But you need that little something on the side that's almost like that little spark in your life. Like you say, you may not be making the breadwinning money out of it, but if it's something that keeps you happy and keeps you level. And what I actually really love now, especially just like getting as old as I am now, I've been married for so long. Women now appreciate that men need that little something, and they leave us and let us get on with it.
That's so true. It used to be era of the man cave, didn't it? Like building a shed in the back garden just to escape misses and shit like that.
Now my man cave is in my house.
Yes, get in. That is the way to go. Oh, mate, it's so true. It is so true. And it's like, you wouldn't be anywhere else without it. And it does keep you ticking over, because I'm sure that at some point or another, the fucking insanity would fucking kick in. And if you didn't have that little hobby, that little something to go to, you'd have to sit there and fucking watch Love Island. And who the fuck wants to do that?
Well, I did. I think during COVID, I did get a little hooked on Married at First Sight Australia.
Oh, mate, who didn't? I've been banned from watching that now.
Yeah. But I can't keep up with it anymore. In fact, I mean, me and my wife also do a podcast, which is
nice.
We with our daughter as well sometimes, because she's nearly 14. But the next couple are just going to be me and her. And we say all the time, like, there's nothing on telly anymore. There's nothing good. We're watching, like, re-watching old stuff.
Yeah, and you just get to a point where you just think to yourself, fuck it, I can't be bothered to watch this again. It's like the Married at First Sight shit was just like, it was good at the start, and now they've just gone off on this biggest fucking tangent. And at no point in anyone's marital career do you want to see them fucking knocking somebody else off just for fucking shits and giggles. Like, why? Why are they doing this?
But,
I tell you.
And the budget of that show must be insane.
They just seem to fucking be in, like, the most lavish hotels ever.
Yeah.
And you just think, I can't get a fucking hotel that nice. Like, what the fuck are you? I have to cheat on my wife, don't I? That's what I have to do.
Yeah, that's what you got to do.
Oh, there's no way that's happening. But no way.
Oh, man. I had a feeling we'd be going off on tangents left, right and centre here tonight.
Oh, mate. I think it has to be done, you know, definitely, without that. So you're coming up to 40. When's your birthday?
My 40s actually next year. I'm July 14th next year. I'll be 40.
Is it? Ah, nice. Yeah. My 40th's on the 21st. And my wife's got me tickets to the Prague game, the Devil's Sabres game.
Oh, so wicked.
I'm very, very excited about that. It's and taking the boys as well, my two little boys, we're going, and we're just going to be at the glass. And she got us glass seats as well, which is insane. So this is like, she said to me, you know what it's like having a wife? So she said to me, this is the next 15 birthdays and the next 20 Christmas presents all rolled into one. I think, okay, I can deal with that. I can handle just getting a card every year.
No. Oh, man, that's good. 21st of July or of May?
Yeah, 21st of July.
Yeah, that's... Because it's, for my 40th, I don't actually know what we're doing. Because for my wife's a couple of years older than me, although she does not look it. I'm the one that looks 3 years older. But the,
Ben, get the band back together, mate. You know it makes sense.
We're having an Indian soon, actually, a few of us. It'll be an interesting conversation. But the, for her 40th, I took us to Amsterdam. Complete surprise. She had no idea whatsoever. And we just flew to Amsterdam for 3 or 4 days. So we had said about doing a, loads of couples going out on the Norfolk Broads together for my 40th. And then I said, actually, no, hang on. I surprised you. I want you to surprise me. But it won't be anything like that because, unfortunately, she has Raynards in her hands and her feet. So ice rink is just off limits.
Oh, wow. Wow. Oh, my God.
So, yes.
But still, you still got something to look forward to, you know. And, a nice little Norfolk Broads is sounds good.
Yeah. Look, well, I don't think it's going to be that. I think we're going to save that for another time. But we'll. I know she's asking me where I've never been.
Yeah. Caribbean.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I've never been there. Never been there. I keep on about taking her to Toronto because Toronto. People know I'm a Leafs fan. I'm wearing your Toronto T-shirt here. It's literally one of my favourite cities in the world. But I'd have to take her in the summer, and I'm not going out of hockey season. That's just pointless.
No way. Do you skate yourself? Do you skate?
Every now and again, I can just about hold my own, but I've got a nasty football knee injury, so I can't really do a great deal, change direction or stop-wise.
Nice. Oh, mate, honestly, you need to get out there on the ODRs and get those legs pointed. They've got some big backdrops to, Toronto on the open lakes and shit.
So yeah.
That looks good, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's insane. There's a Canadian lad playing at Chelmsford this year. And in the episode when he was on with me, I think it was episode 57, I think, or something like that, we actually spoke about him because he's from Calgary and he's got an ODR literally behind his house in the middle of a mountain range. And
wow.
I put the picture up on the video as we were talking. Absolutely incredible.
Oh my goodness. It's a bucket list, isn't it? One of those.
Mm. Have you been to the one up in Oxfordshire?
No. I did hear about it. Somebody had told me about it. And there's also one in Scotland as well, isn't there?
Oh, is there? There's one a little bit further over this way in Peterborough on the Fens. There's a guy that floods his field on purpose for it to freeze and everyone goes down there and plays shinny.
What? Oh, I've got to get out there.
Yeah, the Oxfordshire one's probably closer to you. I know Darren Elliott from Oxford was telling me he took his boy down there and they played a bit of hockey on there.
You have to drop me a message on those, and hopefully next year I'll be able to get the boys out there and get skating. That'd be sweet.
Well, see you on the ice quite a lot with your boys. Are your boys looking to play?
Yeah, this has been something that obviously my wife has no say in the matter, and she loves. They started out, I both took them on, so Vinny was 3, Lorenzo was 3, but he started on training blades. And I would say it probably stems back from the fact that when I grew up a single parent family, and I never had any sort of opportunities like that. And it was always get your raggy football and take it over and hit it against the wall. So from word go, I had said to my wife, I am desperate to get these boys skating. If it's something that I never did as a kid, I'd love it to happen to mine. and slow progression over the last, 3 years, 4 years now. We've only just got Vinny into his first under-10s team. And they've both taken to it like a duck to water, and their skating ability is phenomenal. Like, just, I mean, I got to pat myself on the back because, you know, someone's got to. they are just, and Lorenzo is, he's my youngest, he's 4, and he's just going to be one of those kids that just fucking gets away with murder. I can't wait to see him when he's like 16, 17. He's just going to be a fucking powerhouse. And I show them quite a bit. I show Lorenzo on a Saturday morning when we're getting ready. I show him quite a few old videos on YouTube of the old school fighters. And that's all he wants to do is just fucking take people's heads off. And it's just like, it's good. But at the same time, I genuinely shit myself when I see him out there, because I think, yeah, he's not going to be one to be trifled. And you know what? I think it's got to come back at some point. You know, this is another reason why I started the company, I love the fights in hockey. I absolutely love the fights. And if one of my little boys can do it, I'd be more than happy, I tell you.
Yeah. Well, a couple of weeks ago, obviously, we had before the playoffs started, we had the Hudson rivalry as the Devils and the Rangers just threw down at puck drop, which was just incredible to see, wasn't it?
Oh, mate. Something special. Now, I was gutted. I missed that one, but I woke up the next day to, must have been Sportsnet. Every single broadcast company you could think of was on it. And, you know, the penalty box was every single one of the Devils players in the penalty box. Matt Rempe just firing that crowd up like it was supposed to happen. It had to happen. There was no two beans about it. He fucked over Jonas Siegenthaler the previous meeting. We brought in McDermott from Avs to purposefully kick his fucking ass. They went at it. He stopped. That was, I think, the Siegenthaler when he fucking got elbowed. So he wouldn't go for a fucking fight with him on that game. The following game after that, everyone's just going, right, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. I don't think anyone realised it was going to blow up as much as what it did. So, yeah, to see a line brawl in the NHL in today's fucking league is brilliant. Unbelievable.
Yeah. And as you said, you're, you know, a big Devils guy. I think we see the tattoo on your hand when you probably hand your foot.
Yeah. Okay. It's my little boy drew it. I got him to just draw a Devils logo, what he thinks looked like a Devils logo. And I did it a scratch over the top. And, yeah, I got that done for my 39th birthday. So, yeah, it's a little meaningful one there, like a little double meaning on there.
Oh, that's awesome. Actually,
yeah, it's all good.
In the Britain division that I cover, the Solent Devils, their jersey design is a kind of take on that New Jersey Devils with the stripes on the shoulders and where it says Devils or Jersey across the middle. And their head coach,
the
Alex
jersey,
Murray.
Jersey one?
Yeah. When their head coach, Alex Murray, was on here, he said he'd been out to New York and New Jersey and he'd seen the game and he'd come back and said to Dynamis, their kit supplier, I want this. Can you do this? So obviously they had to like add a line, take away a line, so they weren't breaching any copyright. But yeah, the Devils, nice. The Devils jerseys this year were awesome.
Yes, 100%, 100%. Yeah, they were on fire. Yeah, I did see that. I keep seeing it pop up on my Instagram, and I keep looking at it. And I'm just like, they've pretty much nailed the jersey one. So yeah, hats off to them. Massive hats off to them on that one.
Yeah. Well, dude, thank you so much for giving up your time to come on the podcast. We're so thrilled that you're part of the Zero Putts Given family and getting all your stuff out there as much as we possibly can. To everybody who listens or follows or likes on social media, believe me, if you're running something like a small clothing brand or a podcast or anything, you guys don't know how important it is when you like and share. It just feeds that algorithm and pushes stuff all the way out there. If you've got an Alexa or a smart speaker, talk about it in your house because they're listening.
Yes.
It does us all favours.
All the time. Ben, yeah. Thank you so much for having me on. And just one more thing, mate. You're an absolute diamond, mate. And yeah, I will try my very hardest in between all of my things that I'm doing to get your name out there as well, get your podcast. You're doing really well on your podcast anyway, mate. So
thanks, man.
I'll still keep blowing it up, definitely. And long may it continue between us both, mate.
Indeed. Also, we're heading into the summer now. It's going to be my last episode of the season. So we'll be firing back up towards the end of August, early September, when it all kicks off again.
Good stuff.
Good man. Mike, thank you very much, mate.
Cheers, buddy. Thank you.
A massive thank you to Mike for that chat and for being part of the ZPG family and continuing to be for next season as well. That's episode 103 in the bank. That's season 2 in the bank. A massive thank you again to you all for listening and or watching. Thank you to all the coaches from the North, the South, who have sent in coaches' thoughts, met with me for pre- or post-match interviews. It is truly appreciated. And goes without saying, of course, we cannot finish the season without a thought to the dearly departed from the world of ice hockey. Alex Graham, Mike Hammond, Adam Johnson, Mike Urquhart, Dale Keane, and of course, Bob Cole. Sleep well, gentlemen. Your mark on the game will never be forgotten. As for Zero Pucks Given, that's it now for the summer. We'll be getting to work on the ZPG network, getting that up and running. So again, if you want to host your own podcast about your own club from any division, North, South, 1-2 or National, come and do it with us. It's a team effort. There'll be monthly team meetings in case anyone needs any help. You can run your own social media, grow your own pod in any way you see fit, all under the banner of Zero Pucks Given. Really, really exciting times and stuff that we're, you know, I'm really excited to do. Over the summer, I will be the YouTube producer for Nick Rothwell as we move through a whole sort of system of interviews with former ice hockey players and perhaps even other athletes as well, with the Retribe and the Stick Together group that Nick is doing so successfully with. So I'll be getting those videos out as soon as they're done. We're actually having a meeting in the next week or so to get that off and running. And then moving into next year, of course, with the ZPG network, I'll still be doing the episodes exactly as we've been doing. You know, match reports, rundowns of all the news, and then separate interviews with all the players. And the network podcast will just be focusing on that one team, their matches for the weekend, getting anything they can get for their little podcast as well. And we'll all be sort of pushing each other's episodes and getting it all out there, all in one go, all for everybody to listen to. So again, really, really excited. Absolutely cannot wait as well for those videos to become available from the Britain Finals. Because last week I offered myself out, does anyone want me to come and commentate? But I haven't actually heard it yet. I may not have even been any good. I will be taking Lauren up on the offer to go and commentate on MK Thunder versus Chelmsford Chieftains game next year. So I'm really, really looking forward to that already. So when their fixtures come out, so we can start planning those trips. There's only a couple of weeks I didn't make it to this year in the league, so I do hope to make it round all of them next year. Everyone has just been so generous and so kind with their sort of let me come to watch the games in the away venues. They've all been really, really, all the coaches have been fantastic, giving me their time and giving me their thoughts. And all the guests that we've had on this year, I just cannot thank you enough. You've all been so incredibly open, great talkers. I think we've broken down any kind of barriers really quickly and ended up having really good, intriguing chats. So I really do hope that you've enjoyed it as much as I have, the people coming on as well as the people listening. So once again, thank you so much for listening. Make sure you're following on all of the social medias on the Instagram, the Facebook, the X, the Snapchat, the TikTok. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify and YouTube so that you do not miss a thing. Over the summer, we're probably posting sort of once or twice a week just with little teasers from last year's guests. So if you've missed an episode or perhaps a player that you really like and you didn't realise had been on, we're putting them out sort of weekly just so that you can catch up on everything that's gone on in season 2 of ZPG. Thank you again for listening. I'll see you next year. Hey guys, it's Ben from Zero Pucks Given. We've had our sponsorship with Manscaped extended by 1 month.
so you've got one more month to get your 20% off and free shipping on all of Manscaped products from manscaped.com. As you can see from this before picture, I know I look like somebody who used to be in good shape. I'm a little bit of a gorilla. I'm quite a hairy guy. So I took the Lawnmower 5.0 into the shower, and then with the interchangeable head, you take the long hair off with the clipper head, you flick it off for the razor head, and then you take the short hair off. And considering how hairy I am, this is the outcome. I think that's pretty darn good. Of course, once it's there, you look like a bit of a plucked chicken. And you kind of go all the way down, use the skin-safe razor blade, the clipper blade, and that downstairs to get all of that cleared off. And then when you're done, you use the crop soother and the crop preserver, which is like a deodorant for your balls. Stops any of that sweating, any of that chafing, if you're sort of driving a lot, sitting in a van all day or something like that. Or even if you're being active, going to the gym or training or anything fitness-wise, it stops from all that rubbing and chafing, particularly when you wear the Manscaped boxers that are also in the picture, as they've got a nice sort of silk pouch at the front, which keeps you all feeling nice and fresh. So then after that, I've used the weed whacker to get all the hairs around from up my nostrils and in my ears, which as you get older, trust me, they all start to appear out of nowhere. And then I've used my moisturisers with a little bit of bulldog stuff, actually, to just on my head after I've shaved that with a razor blade. You can get a Manscaped beard trimmer as well, which is something I'm definitely going to look at. It's got a lot of different attachments on it, so you can sort of do the lines in your beard and sort of skin fade it down, which is a really, really good product. I'm hoping I might get hold of one of them quite soon. So, yeah, I think these products are absolutely brilliant. I do not put my name to anything that I don't like. And as you can see, I use them, and I think they're great. So use the code 0PUCK20, manscaped.com.
Social Podcast Network.